Welcome back to Drive Time on WCLK. I'm Dr. Adrian Douglas, and if you would like to take part in tonight's live conversation about managing your weight for better health outcomes, call us at 404-880-9255. Call us right now. We had begun the conversation about gender and some differences in weight management and outcomes, and we talked about that. Is there much in regards to ethnicity at all in terms of differences, in your opinion? Do we see that very often? We talked about the South being an area where there are a number of people of various ethnicities. Is that also a part of the weight differences, disparities that we see throughout the country?
Oh, that's a great question, Dr. Douglas. Thanks for asking that. And I will say yes, if you look statistically speaking, again, those that are in minority groups are going to tend to be affected more by obesity and the epidemic. So when we talk about those minority groups, let's get a little bit more specific. So we're talking African Americans or those of African descent, and we're also talking those, and we're kind of going in descending order, of Latinos and Latinas that are here in our country, especially those that we see the biggest difference, interestingly enough, and this is how we really see how the impact is in our country, is that those that come here to our country within 5 years are looking at similar obesity rates compared to those that were not born here. So that and others are certainly impacted compared to non-minority groups.
Okay. So we have Dovener from Stone Mountain. Thanks for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas.
Yes, Dr. Douglas. How you doing?
Great, great. Happy New Year to you, and thanks for calling.
Happy New Year to you all, too. My name is Dovener.
Dovener, okay.
Governor, yes. I was just calling because I was concerned. You know, I heard about your, you know, how y'all was talking about obesity within the Black community and everything like that. Well, I have a son. He's 23 years old. And from the age of 18, he's 23 now, he just blew up. And I'm a very petite man. His mother is moderate weight, but he just blew up, and I just can understand that. But he's obese now, and I'm concerned about his health, you know, because diabetes running my family and everything like that. So I was just concerned about how can I educate him on, you know, because he thinks if he goes to the gym and everything, run down the basketball court, he's okay. But I was just trying to, you know, I just want to educate him about how, you know, it's important that he needs to lose the weight.
It is important for him to lose the weight. As you know, this epidemic of obesity and overweight status is associated with hypertension, diabetes, sleep apnea, severe arthritis, fatty liver disease, so many, many things. So we certainly would urge, you know, for you to continue to support him and give him guidance in terms of how to get that weight down. Now, you did say he's playing basketball. That's unidimensional. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's doing anything else besides playing basketball. No resistance training. How is his nutrition? Is he a gamer? And there's a lot of different things that could be a factor. Does he drink?
Well, no, he doesn't drink, but I know his girlfriend, his fiancée, is from Louisiana, and she really put on, you know, when I went down there to Texas for Thanksgiving, she really put on for the nice southern meal, and he eats like that every day, you know, so.
Yeah, there needs to be some type of re-education about how he's eating. That seems like to be a major component to it. Expanding from basketball to some resistance and also some stretching, and certainly alcohol is not a factor. I don't know what to say about his, did you say fiance? Girlfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, fiance.
I don't know what to say about that. I'll ask my esteemed partner here. Is there anything else that we might add on?
First of all, Dad, I want to commend you for really seeing the warning signs of a major issue, health threat for your son. And they say a parent's work is never done. So even as a young man in his 20s, your concern for him is commendable. So I appreciate you calling in, and we hope that he'll hear some pieces of this segment. I will tell you that group is a challenging group, those adolescents. It's really important for us to try to start shaping what happens with them before that. And part of it, although he's 23 now, he's kind of outside of, he can be more what we consider late adolescence. And so they don't tend to see things. They don't tend to see the problems that we see as their adult peers, older adult peers. And so that right. invincible thing means that I'm young, I can do whatever I want to do. It's not a big deal. And what they don't really see is that, yeah, you're young, but you're starting to have consequences earlier of exposing your body to this level of toxin when we're talking about excess fat over a longer period of time. So your concerns are very much warranted despite his age and youthfulness. I think Dr. Douglas did well to point out that just isolated physical activity at a time in life where we tend to, in years gone by, decades gone by, centuries gone by, we were a lot more active consistently throughout the day. But we even finding right. that activity alone doesn't do it. The problem with being overweight and the problem with fat is that fat has its own ecosystem that it's trying to maintain. So it's going to rob Peter to pay Paul, if you've heard that statement before. So yes, when that happens, it just creates a dysfunction that is really good at maintaining itself. And so it becomes harder and harder and harder. And then those hormones start to do different things. And I'm not just talking about male, female hormones, thinking about insulin and all the different things that maintain and manage metabolism. So he's really getting into some dangerous territory, even though he does not recognize it to be so. So what can you do as a parent? Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. Continue to be supportive, continue to be encouraging, continue to lead by example, continue to let him know that you're there for him. And we have to be really careful in how we do it, because we don't want to do it in a scolding manner. We don't want to right. do it in a way that we shame them or make them feel worse or not want to talk to you or open up, because emotions and the emotional state is pretty fragile. I will say, when you get a chance to have some father to son time with him, just get an understanding of where his mental health state is. You know, sometimes these types of patterns show up when there's disturbances in mental health, for example, depression or anxieties or worries or stress, you know, financial stress at this time of in their lives, where they know they've got to cut loose from the parents, but they're not quite ready to be independent. So many things can factor in. And so I would definitely say pay attention to those things as well, Dad.
Well, I really appreciate this. I really appreciate this, because it's a big concern of mine.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you so much for calling. All right, if you're just listening in, you're listening to Drive Time on WCLK. I'm Dr. Adrian Douglas, and on today's program, we're talking about obesity and managing your weight. Our special guest is Dr. Jada Moore Ruffin. We'd love for you to call. Call 404-880-9255. Dorothy from Stockbridge. Dorothy, thanks for calling Drive Time. Dorothy? All right. Seems like we lost Dorothy. Okay, we'll keep talking about it. Yeah, youth and all this weight, Dr. Moore Ruffin, you know, 40% of these individuals around 18 to 20 are obese, 30-some percent are overweight, you know, 20-25% or more are having diabetes at that age. That's a seismic shift from what it used to be about two or three generations ago. And then there are different behaviors. We're not as active. You know, a lot of our activity now is virtual activity. Do you see the rise of virtual entertainment in the form of video games as being in any way a part of this trend, particularly in younger individuals or individuals in general, not actually getting out and jumping over a fence, but jumping over a fence with a video game? What would you tell me?
You know what? That is a great point and a great question. And the answer is absolutely yes. There are many, many things that we're fortunate to be living in the technology and digital age. There are, as long as there are always going to be good things, there are going to be things that we have to pay closer attention to. And exposure to technology is one of those big ones, especially when we're talking about our children. Anymore, you probably have seen it. I know that I have, that there are toddlers now that can work an iPad or a tablet or a cell phone better than you and I could ever wish to, even with tutorials and paying for instructions on it. But the challenge is that they too become addictive like we do. So a lot of times they would much rather sit and play than stand and run and play. And we reinforce that because some families are not able to have as much outdoor time with working parents, not able to have as much time where the kid can be involved in physical activity. And I'll tell you what we've also seen is a substitution for physical activity. So gone are the days where there's just a lot of running around and outside play and creative play and things like that. Now children are in organized sports and organized events. And some of those may cut the mustard, but going to dance class for 30 minutes or an hour once a week or twice a week is not going to constitute the type of physical activity that's necessary to keep those kids' metabolism going in the right direction.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Lisa from Lithonia, thanks for calling Drive Time.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. I just had some questions regarding weight loss for women, like in their 50s. I'm 55, and I really need to start focusing on diet and exercise. But as you know, when you start to get a little older, you don't move quite as good as you used to. The old gray mare ain't what she used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to get a little bit more information about what are some areas of focus that I need to look at when it comes to diet and exercise.
How are you doing with your sleep?
Not good.
Okay, that's
I'm not getting much sleep at night.
Yeah, that's important. There is an epidemic also of Americans having insomnia, and so insomnia impacts you in a lot of different ways. If you're not getting restorative sleep, then you're more likely not on the back end or later on during the day wanting to go out and exercise. So you get into a vicious pattern. Also, when you have a lack of sleep, for whatever reason that may be associated with, then you're more likely to indulge in bad eating behaviors, eating foods high in caloric intake. So that might be a fundamental thing to look into. What is it with your sleep? Trying to focus on trying to get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Again, the same concepts of consistent and regular exercise. And that's the thing. Not just our younger generation, but almost all Americans now want everything now. It really takes a while. You really need to get going and then stick to it for a period of time. Sometimes it requires personal training to help us to really be accountable to someone. That tends to play out in a lot of other arenas, being accountable to someone. But there are a couple of things that you can do, and those are some of the things that I come to think about when you ask that question. Dr. Moore Ruffin.
Sure. So that's a great question. And as we get older, especially as women, how do you overcome some of those barriers with movement and things like that? And this is one of those times when I'd say which comes first, the chicken or the egg, especially when it comes to mobility. In other words, being able to get around and be as active as you once used to. As that weight gains, as you gain weight, you're going to experience more, first of all, inflammation. Second of all, you're going to feel more discomfort in the joints. That's part of what's actually called fat mass disease. So we're going to experience that, which then becomes a deterrent for physical activity. And it begins to keep itself in that cycle, because the less you use it, the less you'll be able to use it. And so looking at how the body responds to excess fat or being overweight is a really key indicator of additional problems that will come with it. Now, we spoke a little bit about hormones. We spoke, Dr. Douglas absolutely spoke about sleep and those sleep tendencies. So much repair work happens during those sleeping hours. If you cut that short, you cut the repair short. So you are not getting the bang for your buck. And we protect that whole thing around not sleeping. I think, you know, you see things out there, sleep is for wimps, and I'll sleep when I die, and those kinds of things. You may die a little bit sooner if you're not sleeping now. And, you know, I've been one of those insomniacs, and I've been there where, you know, in residency even, and it takes a long time to get that out of your system, if ever. We're kind of always sleeping with one eye open just in case somebody needs to call us, so we got to go save a life in the middle of the morning.
That's correct.
But we have people that are parenting into the wee hours. We have people that are parenting and caregiving for their parents. So I say all of that to even talk about stress and the impact and influence of stress. And all of these things that we're mentioning, when we're talking about it, it sounds like, oh, this is just something you hear and you talk about all the time. But all of those things have a physiologic impact. There's an origin and there's an impact. There's an influence. There is something that happens as a result of these things not happening or not happening well. So until we start to uncover what those challenges are, you may experience difficulty with getting that weight down. Appetite even is another one. With the well-meaning person that wants to eat healthier, the appetite, and I'll tell you another big one that I have to really work with my clients is emotional eating. Big one.
Yes.
Big one. And realizing that emotions run the gamut. So sometimes we ask that question or we have the conversation around emotional eating and people are like, well, no, I'm happy all the time. Well, I'm happy that you're happy all the time. But there are other emotions that you may not account for. Boredom. Mm-hmm. Boredom is one. Frustration. Impatience. There are so many things that, and a lot of times we want to think positively and I'm happy all the time, but your body may not be translating your level of happiness. And so something happens physiologically to shift how the body will respond to foods and to the process of metabolizing foods.
Lisa, thank you for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Next caller. Pat from Riverdale. Pat, thanks for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas.
Thank you for taking the call, and Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year to you.
I wanted to ask, does sleep apnea play some sort of part in when losing weight? That's something that I do have as far as, like, the eating and all that. For the most part, I think I eat pretty decent. I stopped eating meat 3 years ago. So, you know, I try to keep, you know, I try to eat healthy for the most part. But I just wanted to know if sleep apnea plays a part in when you're trying to lose weight.
When you have sleep apnea, your body doesn't get restorative sleep and you're not getting adequate oxygen to your brain and the rest of your body. That causes a physiological response. Frequent enough situations such as your blood pressure goes up, your blood is more likely to clot, and one of your hormones, insulin, tends to become higher during that time. As insulin becomes higher, that drives up your blood sugar. It causes the production of fat. So again, the process of untreated sleep apnea tends to aggravate tendencies towards weight gain and also weight loss. So you're compliant, I suspect, with your sleep apnea. Is that correct? Are you
right.
Are you using your CPAP or your oral device? You are great. So
I hadn't got that yet. I actually got something else that helps me with that. But as far as the CPAP machine, no, I have not gotten one of those.
Okay. I mentioned it before, just briefly. We talked about a previous lady who had talked about, you know, being at a certain point in life, and I made a comment about sleep. Whatever it is that impacts your sleep can impact your daily activities. So if you're exhausted because you didn't get restorative sleep, then you're going to be less likely to be inclined to begin and to be consistent with any regular and consistent exercise that can help with weight loss. You're going to be more likely to eat poorly.
Okay.
And then also, you know, not getting restorative sleep can impact your mood, so you're more likely to have problems with depression, anxiety, things along that line.
Okay, so what you just said, I really don't suffer from those. I do exercise at least three days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the gym, and when the time changes, I love to walk. So I do a lot of walking, and once I get out of work, so I don't have a really big problem with on that end. But I don't know if it's something else. I know as far as like with the CPAP machine and that type of thing, but I don't know, you know. I mean, because my diet for the most part, yeah, when you give up meat, you tend to, you have to watch your carbs. That's a big thing because you tend to eat other stuff. But I don't have a really big problem with that either.
We're going to let Dr. Moore Ruffin make a comment.
So I have a question, okay. Pat, right?
Pat.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pat, would you consider yourself, I'm assuming you consider yourself to be either overweight or obese, or you've been told that by your physician?
I am a little overweight. Yes. Yes, I am. I can say that I am. I don't think I'm where I should be.
Okay. And you've put forth a reasonable effort, according to what I'm hearing you say, over the last what?
Three. Well, as far as I stopped eating meat almost 3 years ago.
Okay. Did your weight change since then? Did your weight go down?
A little, not a lot, a little.
Okay. And so now what's your strategy?
What I do, I mean, I try to keep, I always try to keep exercise, you know, in my regimen. I always, at least 3 days a week.
Okay. Okay.
I go to the gym. So, and then when the time change, I do walking. I do a lot of walking because I like to walk.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to your original question about sleep apnea, and can that affect mm-hmm. weight? Absolutely. Not only can it affect weight, sleep apnea in its worst form and in its untreated form can lead to death. And
right.
That does not necessarily have to be an extremely obese person or extremely overweight person. There are physiologic, right. or in other words, the organs are distressed when that happens. And it happens over and over, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year. You are mm-hmm. essentially creating an intense environment for your organs to keep doing the important jobs they have to do. And when at the end of this conversation, I'm really pointing to the impact of your metabolism that is caused by that and related to that. So it is going to, it's like being in a maze. Figuring out how to get out of that by yourself is going to be really tough. You need to speak with a specialist. You need to get with an expert. If your primary care doctor cannot give you the instruction and guidance that you need to ask mm-hmm. for a referral. You could see a doctor like me. I don't know what side of town you live on, but there are other mm-hmm. specialists as well. I'd be happy to see myself, but you know, shameless plug. But you're going to need the help of a specialist to help you get out of the maze. Because if you are experiencing sleep apnea, I'm not sure about that thing that you mentioned that you're doing that's not CPAP or not an oral device, not sure what that is, and you don't have to share. But if you are still experiencing problems, you do not have a solution, you've got to get one. And you got to get one quickly, Pat.
Pat,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Very interesting conversation that we had there. We had briefly talked about James from Tucker. Thank you for calling. Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. James.
Good morning, Dr. Douglas.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
My concern was the cultural aspect of obesity in the country. I think at one point people seemed to care more about their appearance. 40, 50 years ago, people were not necessarily ashamed, but people did not want to be fat. And I see now, particularly in young African-American men, boys, that they have no, I don't want to call it pride, but they don't seem to care as much about their appearance and weight outside of other things that seem to be one of those factors that they don't put much emphasis on. I have a 14-year-old grandson that he mentioned to me, and he's a big kid, that fat shaming is a thing that that he doesn't want to be called that, and that's one of the factors they can justify in continuing to gain weight. So I just think it's a big cultural thing now we're going through, and I'd like to just hear more thoughts of Dr. Ruffin on that and you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dr. Ruffin.
That's a great point, and thanks, James, for caring enough to call in and get some insight on that one. To your point, yes, in this context, we may even be able to expand our sense of culture here in this conversation outside of ethnicity or color or thing or race or things like that. But really, as an American culture, we do see that there is a tendency to be more accepting of the weight gain and the excess weight that we're seeing in our society. And not only that, but to reinforce it with the clothing industries, for example, because there's an economic gain. If you're buying larger clothes, it requires more material. It's going to cost you more. There's an economic gain there. Larger vehicles, SUVs now, you know, no longer people going to be cramped into a small Yugo or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So there's some cost advantage there. There's some economic advantage. So all of this has a real impact. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, is because there's so many ways that we are impacted by this overweight and obesity epidemic. So to speak to the maybe what you're describing as the teen culture and the lack of regard, now in the era of thick or thick-licious, you know, there's this whole thing that people want to be thick, and that's not new to cultures. In some cultures, in Africa and Asia cultures, that to have more weight is a sign of status and worth and beauty. And so that is not something that's new. We're just kind of seeing it in our era, in our space. And so that is, again, another reinforcement. But I caution people, there is a difference between thick and too thick. And so you need to begin to understand those things. And to his point around fat shaming is a thing. And it is something that we want to be really careful with. In fact, in my office and in conversations, I really ask permission. Can I use the term fat? Because I am referring to a physiologic condition and really what is now considered an organ system almost. So I'm looking at those things, and we need to be able to use that word in a more clinical sense. So being careful with our words is one thing. There are things that reinforce extra weight gain and maintaining extra weight. So we really have to be mindful of that in our culture these days. Thank you for that.
Thanks, James, for calling in. Kayla in Dakula, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm 32 years old. I'm 5'1", 205 pounds, and I had a baby about a year ago, and I'm looking to lose about 60 pounds, in my opinion, to get to a healthy weight. And I was considering going to see my primary care physician to get a prescription for phenermine, the weight loss, like the prescribed weight loss medication. And I just was curious as to you all's perspective on using prescribed medications to help aid in weight loss.
You made a comment, and again, your how many pounds did you say that you were over, or your BMI? You have a sense of your BMI?
I don't have a sense of my BMI, but I'm 5'1". About 205 pounds.
Okay, there you go. So by definition, 100 pounds over your 5'1" gives you, for the most part, every inch over 5 pounds, you get 10 pounds. So about 110 pounds, you're close to being considered respectfully morbidly obese, somewhere between severe and morbidly obese. So in that context, there are different medications. Phentermine being one of the meds that has been out for a number of years. It is actually approved for only short-term use, although it may be used longer. There are a number of other medications which have come out in the last 5 years which are used for chronic weight loss management. In other words, more than 6 months, they've been approved by the FDA. So you still have the fundamentals. It's not just about the pill. You have to eat differently. You have to exercise. You have to get adequate rest. You have to get adequate sleep. You have to be closely monitored. Your particular medicine you're talking about has the potential of cardiovascular impacts, driving your blood pressure up, driving up your heart rate. And again, you have to be monitored closely. So if you were to pursue that, then you want to be closely monitored. That would require you to come in on a regular basis. And so that may be something that you wouldn't want to have that conversation with, but be sure that you're closely monitored, that things don't go undetected.
Programming on Jazz 91.9 WCLK is made possible in part by MDVIP. Dr. Adrian Douglas, host of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, is an affiliated physician with MDVIP. He has practiced internal medicine at Piedmont Hospital for more than 20 years. Dr. Douglas's primary care practice is focused on prevention. His patients take part in a wellness program made up of comprehensive, advanced health screenings and diagnostic tests that have been shown to detect issues earlier. He then customizes a wellness plan based on each patient's individual results. More information is available at mdvip.com.
You're listening to Drive Time on WCLK. I'm Dr. Douglas, and today's program we've been talking about weight management. Our special guest, Dr. Jada Moore Ruffin, is an obesity specialist. Dr. Moore Ruffin, can you tell our listening audience how they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Listening audience, you can contact me at, first of all, you can go to my website, www.startwithreal.com. That's startwithreal.com. I have a medical practice that focuses and emphasizes weight loss and weight management. It's non-surgical, very comprehensive, physician-supervised and led. I'm here in Atlanta, but you don't have to be. I can take care of you from just about anywhere. My office is 4553 North Shalifer Road. It's in Atlanta on the north side. Our office number is 404-464-8749. Get this down, 404-464-8749. If you want to follow us on social media, you can go to Real Weight Loss Pros on Facebook as well as Instagram. And you can follow me, Dr. Jada, MD. I am also on Facebook, Instagram, those ways as well.
Dr. Moore Ruffin, thank you for being, you know, our featured guest today on Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. I think we covered a lot of information about the overweight and obesity epidemic in America. A lot of pearls were provided to our listening audience. Certainly, we look forward to having you back on as a featured guest at some point in the near future. So, thanks again.
Thank you.
So we're now two generations or 40 years into America's obesity epidemic. This has translated into an alarming rate of hypertension, diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease for all ages, including children and adolescents. Some experts cite the increase in the food industry's addition of added sugar to our primary food chain and also the decrease in activities as being the source of this problem. I strongly recommend you consult your health care provider for tips on lifestyle modification, addressing the areas of diet, nutrition, exercise, fitness, and finally better sleep and stress reduction. These are all vital for our health and sustained transformation to a successful weight loss and effective maintenance. Thank you for listening to Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. Be sure to listen to us on February the 5th, our next installment of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas. February, as you know, is Heart Month, and we're going to feature local cardiologist Dr. Jane Morgan. We're going to talk about heart disease in women on Drive Time with Dr. Douglas.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Drive Time with Dr. Douglas on WCLK. More information about Dr. Douglas and MDVIP is available at mdvip.com or by phone at 1-866-347-9339. You can listen to this program a second time on demand at WCLK.com. Drive Time with Dr. Douglas is produced by WCLK in conjunction with MDVIP. Executive producer for MDVIP is Sean Kelly. The producer for WCLK is Rob Maynard. On behalf of Dr. Adrian Douglas, MDVIP, and WCLK, we wish you the best of health.